were saying a woman was seen fleeing town. The girl fit the description of our old friend, Jane. We can question every living soul. Turn over every rock until that snake slithers out into sight. When she does, well, you bring me her head.
Vision boys are coming for you.
You don't need a gunslinger. You need a whole damn regiment.
There's so much you don't know. After you left, the bishops offered protection for me and my daughter. They had other intentions.
Is that a way in?
There's only one way in, one way out.
I've been running my whole life. They come to my house.
Despite Relativity going bankrupt, despite all the actors, the directors, the writers, the producers switching studios, all this backdoor drama of production of this film still got made. I'm talking about Jane Got a Gun. Or does the gun got Jane? Yeah, I don't even know why I'm trying to make a point. Nothing clever about this movie, but so let's go ahead and talk about this film. This film started in production. I did a little research about the other day when Cody told me this movie had production problems. And I heard about it at first, but I just didn't really give a shit at the time. But 2011 is when this movie was first announced that it was going to get made. And then I want to say 2013 rolled around and everything just started going to hell. 2012 had some problem, but 2013 is when just people started dropping. Michael Fassbender was originally supposed to be in this. Then, of course, you know, he did another Western, Slow West, which I think was his replacement for this. They had different directors lined up, different actors. Like I said, producers. They went from studio to studio. Then, in June or July of 2015, last year, Relativity, the studio that had the rights to and was going to make it, they went bankrupt, and there was a ton of films, too, that they had under their belt they were getting ready to make. But let's just face it, Relativity really don't make that much money these days. And I want to say it was either 325 mil or 525 mil of bankruptcy they had. Which brings us to now. This came out overseas, I believe, into last year. And we were supposed to get it in February, but I guess they kind of count this weekend. That's coming up to be pretty much the February, if you will, because it is end of the week. But go ahead, Gavin O'Connor, director, he picked it up with a producer on it, Natalie Portman, one of the producers on it, one of the head producers, and also Joel Edgerton. He was a co-writer on this too. I guess he got the final script after the last two guys. They did their little workup on it. I guess he was the finalization on it. And you know, Joel Edgerton's been getting behind the camera. Last year he had The Gift, which I think was a really well done, executed first time directing film. And it's time to see if it produces well with Natalie Portman and both your two lead main actor and actresses behind the camera as well. Plot synopsis here. We got Jane. You know, she's living a normal life. Got a little daughter and everything. Is looking so adorable. You just want to hug the little white baby, precious baby, little angel, if you will. And then all of a sudden, the little kid says, "Oh, daddy's coming home." Daddy is riding a horse slowly until he fucking falls off. She grabs him, puts him in bed. And right off the bat, we getting into the rated R rating here because he's got about 5 fucking bullet holes on his back. And you just like, how in the hell did he make it back to this damn home now? And I can't remember the name of the Woodshaw brothers or something like that. The Woodshaw gang or something like that. I'm probably fucked that all up. But you know what? Half of you ain't probably going to see this damn movie. Maybe I can look it up. Nope, it does not say it here. Alright, well, fuck it. I'm just gonna call them a group of outlaws, man. And, they're pretty much taking shots at them because, her husband is, it was Noah Emmerich. Noah Emmerich, he played Bill Hammond. He was with this group of outlaws at one point until he decided to run off with, Miss Jane here, played by Natalie Portman. And she's cleaning his wounds out. She even lights his ass on fire. I guess that was a way of treating bullet holes back then. You put some gunpowder in and light it on fire, and then bam, it heals up, whatever. But he's pretty much on his deathbed. He's dying and shit. So, and he tells her, you know, this group of outlaws is coming here. They're going to continue to keep looking for me because I took four of their boys or whatever. And they don't really tell you, like a lot of Westerns today, they don't really go into detail what exactly happened. This film actually does do that in a sequence of flashbacks, which I'll get into a little bit later. So she decides to go into town. She gives her daughter up to her best friend. She says, here, watch my daughter. Matter of fact, hold on to her because I'm not running. I'm not going nowhere. I'm putting bullets in every one of these last bastards. I don't know how many there are. And she decides to go to Mr. Joe Edgerton, who plays Dan Frost in here, and he comes out with a gun right away and says, get the hell off my goddamn property, nagger. And she beats on door saying, I need your help, blah, 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 this and that. And he was just like, your life don't mean nothing to me, and I'm not going to help you, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, damn, did they fuck us up? Oh, they did. Oh, okay. And, she goes into town to go buy a bunch of fucking guns and stuff, and one of the outlaws grabbed her, and this dude looked terrible looking. I mean, he looked like Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean or whatever. He had this big ass line in his neck, and they show you in a flashback scene where he got shot in the neck. I don't know how the fuck some of the people in this movie survived from some of the shit they've done in here, because it is pretty damn... I ain't gonna say it's really hard, gruesome, or whatever, but it's pretty damn gruesome with some of the shit you show. I'll say it's a tame gruesome, if you will. And he grabs her, and Joel Edgerton shows up, and then she blows his fucking head off, his brains, and they leave town, and he decides, you know what, I'll help you out. I'll take these outlaws down, or whatever. We're gonna guard this house here. Our house is in the middle of the mountains. It's gonna take a while for them to get up, so let's set up here, let's get ready. And then we find out that through a flashback scene, those two were lovers. Also, you got Ewan McGregor, who plays Colin McCain here. He's the head bad guy. I couldn't tell if that was Ewan McGregor for first. And I was looking, I was like, I remember he got casted for this film. I was staring, I was like, maybe I just haven't seen him in a while. But damn, yeah, that is him. And he does an okay job. And we find out they're lovers through flashbacks and blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. That's pretty much the synopsis there. What I liked about the film, Joel Edgerton, man, this guy is one of the most, I gotta say, underrated actors working in Hollywood today. This guy acted his ass off in this film. In fact, there was times where I was looking at him and just like, you acting probably a little too good for this film, especially since it's a Western, low budget. Probably never going to get any recognition. The best recognition is going to get. Matter of fact, that production problem that it had for the past, 5 years now, is probably the best thing going for this movie right now, because it's keeping its name lit under a belt where people can recognize it or something like that. It's getting a limited release. I think it's like 500 to 1,000 theaters or something like that. This movie is going to be long forgotten, and people are going to be still clamoring they don't make Westerns anymore. But he acted his ass off in the film, especially when it started getting into the more interesting points of the story here. Because I gotta say, the story here, it's simplistic. It works in some parts, but there's a lot of problems with it. And it's with the problems that start with the story is the fucking flashback scenes. First of all, the flashback scenes, I don't even think the fucking time frame was right on them, because there was one date I saw and then another date, and I was just like, that don't make any damn sense how this happened. And first of all, I'm not going to say Natalie Portman was bad for a lead here, but if you have a time span of damn near 10 years and Natalie Portman don't age, she looks the fucking same. She has one daughter at the beginning of the film, little girl, kind of could be like, I think she said 5 years old. And there's a flashback scene with a little girl, which I thought was the same girl at one point, she looked like they were the same age, something like that. And then we fast forward to the present day of whatever time frame, I forgot, I think it was like 1895-ish, somewhere around there. And fast forward to that present day time where her daughter is, I guess, a teenager by this point. I don't know how old. She's got to be like, at least in this film, she's probably like 11, 12, 13, somewhere around there.
And Natalie Portman, she hugs and go, "Mom." And then Natalie Portman is the same goddamn age. I was like, man, she don't look like she aged a fucking bitch. So, and that's not bad on Natalie Portman's acting or director. It's just that, y'all, man, y'all should have threw something on that girl or whatever. Because I was like, yeah, it was easy for this girl, her daughter is an older version, recognize her because she ain't aged a bit. I thought the acting was whatever. Other than Natalie Portman and Joel Edgerton, who had great chemistry together. Other than those two, you don't really give a damn about nobody else. I mean, the characters in this movie are kind of uninteresting. You got Ewan McGregor's character, who's just like, I just want to get Natalie Portman. I mean, he's not doing anything interesting at all. He's barely on screen. You got Noah Emmerich, who's on his deathbed, so he ain't really given much to do except, like, you just see through his eyes every now and then, which are fading away slowly because he's dying slowly. Joel Edgerton and Natalie Portman work great together. I was going to say Natalie Portman wasn't that interesting, but then, you know, she got into a little bit more deal. Because this movie tries to go off that we have a strong, I mean, they don't say that, but it was like, you know, we have a very strong woman here and stuff like that, and she's willing to do it. But what I like about her character, though, is that she's vulnerable in the movie, which we see a lot in the film, but she's not useless. She's doing things. She's able to get around. She's not afraid to stand up for a fight and stuff like that. You know, she knows how to be helpful, especially to Joel Edgerton's character when they're setting up like traps and shit like that. So she's really good at that, and I thought that was what really made her character at least stand out and to not point saying she's such a strong feminine character. Look what she can do here and that, whatever. It's like, no, she's just like any other human being or whatever. She just has common sense, but she's still, you know, still a target and a threat and vulnerable at the same time. Joel Edgerton is just the fucking man in the film. I mean, you know, we find out, you know, why they split, obviously, I think it was probably one of the better flashbacks, at least, because I hated all the flashbacks. The time frame was all off. The flashbacks were just out of sequence and shit like that. It was just like, wait a minute, I kind of got lost at one point with the daughter. I didn't know there was two of them. And until, like, the ending of the film where Natalie Portman and Joel Edgerton are acting their asses off and telling this story, and I was just like, Jesus, thank God they cleared that up, because I was thinking about that the whole fucking movie, how that makes no sense that this girl is still the same age. And I'm not talking about Natalie Portman, I'm talking about their little daughter. So the film is kind of out of sequence in a way because of that. It's only an hour and a half film. Goes by at a smooth little pace here. But, you know, why they break up is because Joel Edgerton, he joins the war. He's gone for about 3 years. So Natalie Portman just assumed he dies. There's a great line Jordan says, you could have went to the post office. They put the bodies, not the body, but they put photos and names of the dead soldiers and stuff like that on there. And she's like, well, you were gone for 3 years. And it kind of makes Natalie Portman out to a bitch, because it's kind of like, man, you just ran off with some new dude after 3 years and shit like that. After, you know, you all this I love you and shit like that. And these flashbacks I'm seeing here. And it really make her stand out and be a bitch. She's just kind of like, yeah, fuck you. Why should Joel Edgerton help you? I mean, you got, and then not to mention, the new man you with, he got wanted posters all over for him and stuff like that. So he just kind of like, yeah, I'm not really getting her story until, you know, the night where before all the shit breaks loose, she sits him down. Because Joel Edgerton tells a really damn good story. He's just like, yeah, why are you helping her again? I don't get this. Yeah, because I thought it was the best flashback scene of when the war was over. How he came back looking for her and shit like that. He traveled from Mississippi to New Mexico and shit like that. And he was just showing her photo around, like he was a goddamn beggar, until he found Ewan McGregor's character and you know, his stupid right hand brother, I guess, whatever, because he looks like a fucking crackhead. He's like, oh, she ran off with Bill Hammond or whatever. You know, Joel Edgerton tracked them down. He saw them. Natalie Portman's character holding a newborn baby and shit like that, and he saw him for a distance, and he's just like, yeah, I was like, I see why he's pissed off, yeah. He's even lying, he's just like, I can't tell you how many times I've been wanting to kill your husband since I've been here, or your man now. And even tells her, you know, there was a story about how he got caught, and because he was telling a story about, because he shot a dude, and she was just like, oh, is this what I'm paying you for?
to bury your good name and murder people that's coming here to kill us and stuff like that. And he was just like, it's okay to be afraid. And he told her the story about how he was taken alive and beaten and stuff like that, and held captive for a year. I think it was a year or something like that. And the only thing that was keeping him going was knowing that he had to make it back to her. And, you know, he was like, other men die because they didn't have nothing to fight for, but I had you. And I was just like, damn, you a cunt, Natalie. I was like, fuck this bitch, man. Shit. This dude, I was like, yeah, he got every right to be pissed off. But then about two scenes later, she broke down her story. And I was just like, never mind then. I guess you both got equal points here. She told a story about, he was gone for 3 years and the war broke out so badly, you know, people were getting shot in their homes and stuff like that. So, you know, Ewan McGregor's character was offering up protection. So she took a chance with her daughter and her and ran off with these guys. And little did she know, you know, on the road, this guy, Bill Hammond, he started falling for her and shit like that. I don't think she really cared at the moment, but then, you know, she started getting raped and stuff like that. They were taking her to brothels and whorehouses, and they were raping her constantly and shit like that until, well, one day, you know, that crazy-ass brother I was just talking about, that crackhead-ass brother, you know, Bill Hammond's character goes like, where's Mary at? Which was named after Joel Edgerton's mother in the film. And she's telling this all to Joel Edgerton's character, and he's just sitting there, and it was like, where's Mary? Because he didn't know she was pregnant. She tells him that she was pregnant after he left 2 months later. So Mary was the Joel Edgerton's daughter. And he was just sitting there crying like, oh, you didn't tell. Wait a minute. Stop. Tell your man if you're pregnant. Damn, shit. And he's sitting there in tears. He's just like, I didn't know. He's like, well, where is she? And then, you know, she tells a story about when Bill Hammond asked that crazy crackhead brother where he is. And she's like, oh, well, Colin told me to take care of her. He didn't really say how to take care of her. And he just smiles or whatever. And then Bill Hammond runs off to the ocean or whatever and shit. And he sees just a little kid boot floating. And he's just like, oh, shit. And then Joel Edgerton, this is when he started acting. That brother looked like he was really crying and shit. Like, he was just teary-eyed as a motherfucker. He was just like a loss for words. And I was just like, damn. Well, hey, it is the West. I mean, you know, the old West. They ain't had no rules back there. I mean, they probably raped her then and drowned her ass to death. And Bill Hammond lost his shit. And Bill Hammond, people, is Noah Emmerich's character, her new husband, if you will. He lost his shit. He goes to the local town, busts open the whorehouse, and he just starts shooting every dude in sight in this motherfucker. And he finds her getting raped. He shoots this dude in the dick or whatever. As Natalie just laid there and take it. She just laid there and take it. Just like, yeah, women ain't got to do shit. Just lay there and take it. This is fine. And then she was like, where's Mary at? And then he just shakes it. She's dead. And he takes her and they run off. And I was just like, damn. And Joel Edgerton, man, this scene was fucking great. I mean, that was probably literally the best part of the whole movie, was this scene alone, just because of Joel Edgerton's acting, Natalie Portman's, you know, bringing that dramatic presence to the film, because, you know, the movie doesn't really have a lot going on. Every now and then there's a sparse little bit of action, and they're really quick bits, too, because, you know, obviously it's a Western film. You shoot somebody, they ass go down for the count. That's a done deal. There's no more action after that. You know, the biggest action piece is, you know, towards the ending, which is actually the very next scene here, coming up to it. And, you know, so this was probably the best part added to the film, because it actually had some drama and it wasn't, you know, dragging or anything like that. And you know, she was like, you know, that man you call a criminal down there, he saved me from all that was going on and helped me. And, you know, obviously gave her a new daughter, if you will, who's the daughter she left with her friend now, because she believes that the daughter that Joel Edgerton's daughter is dead. Which we later find out in the film, she isn't dead, which we're going to get into that a little later. Because there was a scene before that where Joel Edgerton, he snuck into the house and just sat by her new husband, Bill Hammond here. He just sat by him in a chair, just sat there and just stared, pointed a gun at him and said, what's that? You don't like? Because he started pouring his whiskey into his jar when he was just like, you don't like when I take things that don't belong to you, huh? Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it, huh? And he just like, I can't tell you how many times I've wanted to come in here and put a bullet in your head for taking my woman. And I was like, God damn. And then Natalie Portman walks in, and he just kind of puts the gun slowly away. He looks at her, and he just walks out the room. Before he walks out the room, he goes like, He was just like, I don't know what the hell you see in this man right here. I was like, damn. And this dude, Bill Hammond, laying on his deathbed crying. I was like, better not leave him alone again, because he might kill this motherfucker. And then we get to this big-ass action piece, man. These dudes come up in here, open fire, but they laid trenches down with a lot of gasoline and broken glass and shit like that. And then when they shot at this gasoline and blew up, man, it was like the 4th of July of screaming niggas or something. Like, these niggas was hollering and screaming like they were being beaten slavery or something like that. I was like, damn, that's a pretty damn good plan, actually. You didn't manage it. And then there was still some shots going. I was like, damn, how the fuck did anyone just survive that? That big-ass blast that went on. And, of course, Bill Hammond, he dies because he starts losing a lot of blood, obviously. I mean, the wounds are getting worse. He's going to die, and he dies. And they finally get Ewan McGregor's character in it. He's just like, nah, you guys won't kill me. You can't kill me. He's just like, she was just like, I wouldn't. He's like, I may be a bad guy, but I would never kill kids. Your daughter's still alive. She was like, where is he? And then Natalie Portman was just like, well, if I tell you that, well, I'm gonna get out of it. And she just started opening fire on his ass. Shot him in both his legs. Shot him in his arms, his hands, his fucking shoulder. I was like, she just kept saying, I used about 6 bullets. How many you think I got left? And I won't be afraid of shit. He's like, no, where's? And I ain't gonna ask you this question. Where's my daughter at? And he just like, this motherfucker's still smug and talking like smart ass and shit. Well, she's at the place that you were so foundly loved at, or whatever. I was like, damn, dude. You have to fucking say that. And then she blows his fucking head off. I was like, yeah, sounds about right there. So clearly your daughter's been at this at a whorehouse this whole time. A little bit older and shit. And then, you know, obviously Natalie Portman goes and find her. And you look at her and go like, damn, she looked like she fucking 15 in this shit. How many years have fucking passed now? Time frames all over the damn place in this movie. Another problem I have with this film is that Jane gets shot in this big ass gunshot and stuff like that. And next, you know, even Joel Edgerton gets shot in the arm, but you know, he gets his bandages and stuff. She gets shot in damn near in the side, and maybe it just glazed through or whatever, but not a fucking single injury whatsoever when she pointed the gun at Ewan McGregor's character. Not even the next day, I guess the next couple of hours, she was fine and dropped these bodies off to collect the bounty on all these motherfuckers and shit like that. And then stole away on a horse and saved her daughter. I was just like, wow, inconsistency here. And the movie, honestly, it doesn't even really offer much. Like, Slow West was the Michael Fassbender Western film, which I thought was good, but it wasn't changing the wheelbarrow or anything like that for Western film. They didn't do anything like that. It was just okay. It was a nice, simple little Western film. And that's kind of the same thing here. I see a lot of people riding the shot of this movie's dick. Actually taking this movie's dick down, to be honest. Just saying, oh, and a lot of the criticism is just, it's not doing anything new. It's not doing anything differently. Which I agree, but I don't think it's fucking terrible, to be honest. I thought my time went by really quick. The pacing on it was just fine. It's just not a lot of doing anything, and the story is just kind of weak. And then, honestly, I kind of hated that the fact that her daughter was still alive. The Joel Edgerton's daughter, the one that we thought the whole movie was dead. When they showed her, I was just like, oh. Now, you know, now what Bill Hammond did, Joel Edgerton's going to move right back in, and they're going to go get her other daughter, and then they're just going to be one big-ass family and live happily ever after. It's like, yeah, okay, whatever. I thought the story would have probably had a little bit more meaning, but it would have felt a little bit more meaningful had she just stayed dead, because that story was just so delivered so great, the way Natalie Portman did it and Joel Edgerton portraying on it. I thought it would have just been better if she stayed dead, but it wrapped up like some happy little ending. It's just like, well, whatever. The acting is great, at least on Natalie Portman and Joel Edgerton. Everybody else was just whatever. It was okay. I did like the scene though when Joel Edgerton shot one of these motherfuckers, and the dude spit on him and he fucking shot his head off too. I was like, yeah, well, man. I mean, when you get shot in the West, these motherfuckers, man, you don't ever get in their face, because they always got some smart ass thing to say, or they're gonna spit on you or some shit like that. And it's just like, yeah, what do you think is gonna happen? The action was cool. I like the gunshots here and there. The story, I was kind of like, this needs to get a little bit better here, or else it got
just because of a story element brought some, it really didn't add much to it, but I thought it added something to it, so I'll give it that. But overall, I think I'm going to go towards a high streaming. I enjoyed the film, but I just really don't see the film that they thought that they were going to make or something like that, especially with all the production film this thing had. It's like, why even release this to the big screen? You should have just either took it to Netflix or Amazon or even Hulu for that matter and just made it there, because I don't see what the trouble was to get this film made at all, to be honest. It was just like, wow, it just kind of came and gone. And honestly, I'm probably going to forget it 6 months from now, too. If actually, that's me being generous. I give that 3 months from now. So, yeah, I give it a high streaming. If you're a Western fan, you'll see no problems with this. I mean, clearly you'll see a little bit of the technical problems there and stuff like that, but you'll probably enjoy yourself a little bit. But you'd be like, I'm glad I didn't pay for it in theater, but yeah, I'll watch it at home. It's just fine. So all in all, if a movie ever takes this goddamn long to make and has as many production problems as this, and when the product is finished and the movie is as simple as this motherfucker, just say fuck it, studios. Don't even make the damn thing.
Possession where she belongs.